This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, everybody. Welcome back for hour number three. So as you heard, the last couple of minutes of the hour, we finally were able to release the information that we have lost John Feinstein, colleague, friend, great contributor to the Junkies over many, many, many years. I co-host, you know, at least one show, maybe two shows. He was a regular on shows that I've done throughout the years over the last 20 plus years, both nationally and locally. Multi-time best-selling author, Season on the Brink, Next Man Up. I mean, so many golf novels, books. You know, I remember John would, you know, reach out, I don't know, a couple of years ago. It's been a little while since I've talked to him. And would reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm writing a book about whatever. Can you, you know, can I come on? And, you know, I always wanted him to come on because he was always have an interesting perspective. And, you know, he loved a couple of things. Army, Navy. He loved the Patriot League. He loved college basketball and the NCAA tournament. And John will be missed. Speaking of the NCAA tournament and the Patriot League, I now have the pleasure of being joined in studio by one of my longtime, longtime good friends, the voice of the NCAA tournament bound American University men's basketball team, the Dean Arini, the... Just the patriarch of the Patriot League, Dan Lang.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Obviously, you know, just finding out about John is a little bit of a downer because as you said, you know, the Patriot League was one of his passions, and he did a good job of trying to promote the Patriot League and pushing it out front, writing about it whenever he could, both in the Post as well as The Last Amateurs, which is one of his books, where he focused on the Patriot League. Is at the time he was writing the book, the Patriot League did not offer athletic scholarships. Right. And, you know, he really wanted to hone in on the fact that the Patriot League bought into, and still does, into the student part of student-athlete. That's still a big focus and something the Patriot League prides itself on. And John really is the one that championed that and really is the one that you know, wrote about that, had a passion for it. You mentioned that, you know, Army, Navy, and then he, you know, expanded out to the rest of the Patriot League. He was over at Bender Arena, which is where AU plays their games, a number of times. Was out at a few games last year. Did not see him at any games this season. I had a chance of broadcasting a couple games with him, and always, obviously, brought great insight. Knew when to be excitable. He came prepared and knew the historical perspective of the Patriot League, which is tough to find. You know, somebody that has that passion and knowledge.
So you mentioned you got a chance to broadcast a few games with him. And again, obviously, he spent – it was not for show that he spent time with the in the Patriot League.
No.
Broadcasting American University games, right, mm-hmm. with him as an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
How for those that didn't know John as in that role, how was that relationship back and forth? How did those broadcasts go from what you remember? How was, you know, the preamble or the pregame, like, conversation? Like, because John was a big enough name
oh, sure.
where he could be a jerk, but my personal dealings were he wasn't a jerk.
No, and yes, you know, that's some of the reputation, but I never found that when I was working with him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, I think from what he said and, you know, what he's tweeted out in the past that he respected what I brought. He watched the games he wasn't doing, he'd watch and listen to. And we always had a great relationship, you know, and sometimes when you're sitting there and you're doing a game, it's tough to really get that chemistry down, especially when it's not somebody you're doing a game with day in and day out or, you know, every game. So with John, it was seamless. You know, he'd come in and he had already talked to the coaches. He already knew about the players. He already went over the game notes. I already mentioned the fact that he knew the historical perspective. There was never any, like, jumping on him or him jumping on me. We had great chemistry. And he understood, you know, the idea that, hey, the TV medium is more, you know, the analyst side. They can talk, but when the game is tight or when there's a run or a point, an idea of points for in transition, well, now you've got to really, you know, you got to give it to the play-by-play guy a little bit. And John was great about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he, you know, it was not like, I got to get my point in and, you know, we'll get to you when we get to you. No. And I've worked with some analysts that do have that mentality. John was not one of them.
This isn't probably a time to crack a joke, but
I'll leave it up to you to go ahead and float that moment. John had a sense of humor.
No, I agree. I mean, we've all worked with tough people to work with. I guess is the point. And you know, I know you have a passion for doing what you do, and we'll get to American obviously winning and winning in a blowout over Navy last night and going to the NCAA tournament and all that stuff. When you know in this business, when you work with somebody who's it's like pulling teeth to get anything out of, you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to figure out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you, I should also point out, you're also the voice of what? Middle Tennessee State?
Now you should know this. It's Tennessee State University.
I'm sorry.
TSU.
Tennessee
TSU,
State University.
Roar City.
I forgot. Where Eddie George just was the head coach and
Correct.
He just left for Bowling Green.
Yes.
So you do that as well.
Yes.
And SiriusXM.
Yes.
On the side. And you're, I mean, you're a great friend of mine. And I appreciate you coming down, hanging out in the studio. I'm so happy for you. All that stuff. But you understand, when somebody doesn't have a passion for something and they're just kind of in this business going through the motions.
Parachuting in.
Yeah. Exact, not paying attention, mm-hmm. not caring,
yep.
whatever the subject is, right? And not everybody cares about everything, but John was a diehard baseball fan.
Yep.
Loved the Mets.
He was out at Nats Park a number of times.
Yeah, loved the Islanders mm-hmm. hockey. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Loved all sorts of things. Now, he was critical at times, but John had one thing that you cannot say about John is that he didn't have a passion for what he talked about.
And his takes were always good takes. It wasn't just, I'm going to throw something out there.
Whether you agree or disagree. Right.
But he would have a reason
for
his take. You know, a lot of people have hot takes.
Right.
But you sit there like, all right, where's the substance of this or in this, as opposed to just rolling out of bed and being like, oh, I'm feeling this today and I want to get a couple clicks or a couple likes or whatever. No, he had background in the reasoning for why he thought and felt a certain way. And I think that's what really drew a lot of people to John. You know, in his columns, they were must reads. You know, when he was putting out columns, his books were bestsellers because people realized that even though maybe some of the subject matter, maybe they're not 100% in on, but they're like, you know what, he can maybe introduce me to something new or different, or, you know, he can maybe sit there and point out an angle of a sport that maybe I'm not that into, i.e. like golf for me. I'm not that into golf. I don't play golf. I don't really know much about the way of the golf world. That was obviously something John knew a lot about, wrote many books about it. And, you know, I picked up a couple of those, and it was interesting to read his take on that, and I was able to learn some stuff about the sport and about his takes because of that. And I think that's where you tip your cap to John, is finding that little niche or some angle of a sport and be able to expand on it. So like college basketball, you're like, okay, well, a million people write about college basketball. He found that niche, and one of those niches was the Patriot League.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, in the last, you know, couple of months here, or last month and a half, we've lost two great champions for Army, Navy, and again for, I want to say the little guy, but, you know.
No, I know, I get what you're saying.
Not
the unheralded, the maybe?
Exactly. The non-Dukes of the world,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
In Pete, you know, of course, Pete Medhurst, who our American beat Navy last night, in the Patriot League Championship at Bender Arena, and you were on the call. On that game, and have been on the call for American University for several years. What is this, year 18?
1-8.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I've known you forever. I didn't realize it was that long.
I started out with a little volleyball action, then we sashayed over into men's hoops, and now do some women's hoops as well, and yeah.
Wow, you sashayed.
Sashayed, yeah. I mean, maybe I don't know if that's the right, especially around you. I probably shouldn't have used that terminology.
And how many times have I had you in studio to talk about all this great stuff that you
do? I believe this is the first time you've invited me over. And that's your loss or your listener's loss, you know?
See, it's I'll tell you why. And again, I'm not trying. I mean, obviously, we're just trying to lighten the mood a little bit because Dan and I have worked together off and on and have known each other and been friends for, gosh, since what, 2007 maybe?
At least.
That's when I started working at SiriusXM, so 17 years, just about that time. And we always, I always joke with you, you don't pick up the dinner tab, you make me pay for dinner, even though you have money coming out of your ears and all that stuff. And see, here it is, the first time that I've actually looked across a radio console and seen my guy, Dan Lang, the voice of American University. Congratulations for obviously going to the NCAA tournament, winning a Patriot League championship. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun call. It was a fun call. These guys are amazing guys to be around. Starting with the head coach, with Dwayne Simpkins, obviously from the area, went to DeMatha, played at Maryland under Gary, and you know he set the tone for, you know, they say at the end of games and meetings, family. And you know, a lot of people can roll their eyes and say, okay, fine, you know, great. Well, these guys really are the embodiment of that. Mm-hmm. And when I've seen them off the court, they are hanging out. They're together. It's not a fractured team. They're a fun team to be around. The chemistry, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. The chemistry they have is incredible. And, you know, you have guys that have played together and known each other since high school or even before. And we have Lincoln Ball and Matt Rogers, both guys from the Hagerstown area. Mm-hmm. And they've known each other since, I think Lincoln said, the seventh grade is the first time that they, you know, hung out and started playing basketball. In middle school, they did not play together. They played against each other. But outside of that, they've played with each other just about the entire time. Lincoln went to GW for 1 year, then transferred to AU to join Matt. And, you know, now they're able to come away with the championship. And, you know, one of the other cool factors is the fact of the quality of guys that you get at this level. Again, you know, we talked about the student athlete part of it. So these guys are, obviously they want to hone their skill and be as good as they can as an athlete. They're also smart guys. So you can have great conversations with them. And there's a lot of local products. You know, you have Greg Jones Jr. from the Alexandria area, won a couple high school titles over there. You have Colin Smalls, one of the best players on the team, can sink the three, can also drive the lane. So you have guys that are local, you have the passion, and it's incredible. And that is bred out to the students showing up, to the arena having just immense energy,
right?
Which, frankly, since the Jeff Jones era, we really haven't felt, since the teams were pretty good in the Jeff Jones era. But this team, I mean, just the buy-in that you can tell from the crowd on certain players and certain times is just, it's incredible.
Their last NCAA tournament appearance was what, 2014?
2014,
right?
Yep, this is the fourth one. 2014
so
is the last
you were
one.
Involved in that, of course. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? I mean, to make the big dance, to win the Patriot League championship, is of course important. That's the goal. That's the initial goal. But what does it mean for the program moving forward? And especially if you can put on a good showing, whether you come up short, whatever, in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we have to see seeding, matchup,
correct,
location, all that stuff.
Sunday.
We'll get to that.
Right.
But what does it do for the program? Does it Does it just make recruiting easy? Easier? Because Mason is on the way back. Tony Skin's doing a great job there. Yep. You know, Virginia's a little bit down. Virginia Tech's down. But Georgetown, I know, disappointing end of the season last night. They're all seemingly on their way back. Maryland, you know, with the Crab 5 is red hot for the most part right now. Like, what does it do?
I think it obviously helps you in recruiting, because now when you go in and you're talking to a kid and their parents and you're trying to bring them in, you're saying, you know, we've had this success.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back, you know, we talked about the fact that they have the roster this year has 3 graduate students, so they're done, a couple of seniors, so they're done. So 5 pieces are departing. But one thing that Dwayne has done a really good job of is incorporating everyone into it. So what I'm getting at is, it's not like you're going to come in and go in and say, yeah, you know, we won the Patriot League Championship, but the cupboard's bare, so good luck. No, there's some really good talent and some guys that have seen some quality minutes and have come up in big moments that are on the roster, you know, moving forward. So I think, yes, obviously you could sit there and say that. I think it's important in the Patriot League because, you know, what gets lost, and obviously everyone wants the big ticket to the big dance and all that, but what gets lost is in the Patriot League, it's a one-bid league. I mean, it's, you know, you have to win. So AU was co-regular season champs with Bucknell. Okay, that's fine and dandy. But you want to get to that's
it
one
doesn't
piece.
It doesn't guarantee you by any means. And and Bucknell getting knocked off by Navy helps,
which was a surprise.
Helps overall what happened last night.
Sure. Even though Navy had beaten AU twice during the regular season going into last night.
Fair point.
You know, so matchup-wise.
I mean, do you think they would have beaten, I mean, impossible to know, but think they would have fared well against Bucknell? Maybe not to the tune of last night, but you think they would have been able to beat Bucknell if that was the matchup?
I think that would have been an interesting matchup. Mm-hmm. Bucknell seemingly was clicking on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. The Navy just went in and wiped them out. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting question. You know, when I look back at going into last night's game, I was under the thought process of, it's going to be interesting to see how this game is called from the officiating standpoint. I hate going there, but Navy has a great guard, Austin Benigni. He comes in. He's a guy, gets a lot of fouls. So obviously that gets you to the free throw line. Against Bucknell, he's a guy that was able to get to the line 22 times. Mm. Now, was only 2 of 12 from the field. But what I'm getting at is, he was able to get to the line a lot. So you get the whistle, you go to the free throw line. He's really good at free throw shooting. And it obviously gets your guys in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. So if the game had been called, quote unquote, really tightly, as far as that component goes, then, you know, it would have been really fascinating to see the outcome of this. But I, you know, in talking to people before the game last night, the matchup against Navy was not one that anybody in that building was excited about for AU.
Because of what happened during the regular season.
Correct.
The voice of the American University Eagles, NCAA tournament bound, baby! Patriot League champions, Dan Lang with us in studio. My longtime compatriot, my longtime friend, I'm so happy that you're here. Unfortunately, the sad news about John Feinstein, but, you know, hopefully with American doing what they did last night, and, you know, of course, if Navy had won, it would still be a good story. And you know, obviously with Pete and his passing and all that, but John, certainly, I don't know if he got to watch the game last night, but I hope that he was able to enjoy time around the program and all of that stuff. But Dan Lang is here with us in studio. One last thing about American, and then I want to bring you back and then talk a little baseball.
I have all the time for you, Slash.
In today's day and age of college basketball, where guys are leaving left and right, and they've benefited a little bit from, guys are looking for extra opportunity. Guys are leaving for different. How hard is it in today's day and age to kind of sustain a program success?
Well, and I think we're at the early stages of that, right? Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting to see in the next few years how that works and how a conference like the Patriot League, which prides themselves on, as we've said, the student part of student athlete, plays in. Because, you know, there are guys that can be offered money and have been offered some cashola. And then you sit there and you're like, okay, you may be able to get a few bucks and you may be able to bounce to, you know, a lower level ACC school or something to that effect. And to some families, the amount of money, you sit there and go, wow, okay, that's a pretty good chunk of change. To others, you go, okay, well, they don't necessarily need the money, so now let's talk about other components to it. You know, if the player's from this area, and now all of a sudden they're moving to a whole other area, well, it's going to make much harder for parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, all that jazz, to get to the games, okay? Now, the bigger thing that I look at is if you have a guy in the Patriot League that is getting quality minutes, playing really well, and wants to run it back another year or two, and you're sitting there going, look, you can grow your game, A, B, C, D, E, you need to do this, you need to get a weight room, A, B, you know. Okay, that's great, and they can continue getting better. Now, you can take the cash and run to one of these other schools, but if you're sitting on the bench now, okay, great, now it's time for you to graduate, all right, you haven't really gotten many minutes on the floor. Now, you took that quick cash, you went and played, you know, for a year or two at a larger school, but you haven't been able to hone your skill. A lot of these players, you know, aren't going to be playing in the NBA. Let's be honest. That's just, that's not something, you know, CJ McCollum, the exception, Mike Muscala, the exception. But lately there haven't been a lot. So you sit there and say, okay, I'm going to take my talents probably overseas. So I want the minutes so I can keep honing my game, get to be as good as I can. Now, when I have video, when I have a scouting report, I can go show these people, this is what I can bring your team. That's much better than, well, I played for this school, this program, but I really didn't play much. I didn't get many minutes. I didn't, but I could bring it a lot for you. So I think that's really going to be a really interesting conversation to have in the next few years.
Because
how does that work? You know, I don't know. And, you know, certain schools, obviously, like everything else in our society, whole other discussion, will have more money than other schools. So it'll be really interesting to see. And even in different conferences, it's the same way. Even in the same conferences, it's the same way. So it'll be interesting to see.
My guy Dan Lang in studio, the voice of the American University Eagles NCAA tournament-bound Patriot League champions, remembering the life and the legacy of John Feinstein, also Americans win. You're also a baseball guy, SiriusXM Radio as well. You're at a lot of the Nationals games. Got to take a quick timeout. Come back, get some thoughts on the Nationals midway through spring training here with the Dean Arini on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Joined in studio by the voice of the American University Eagles, NCAA tournament-bound Patriot League champions last night at Pender Arena here in D.C., Dan Lang from Sirius XM as well, and a longtime pal of mine. You go to a ton of Nationals games. Obviously, you cover baseball, and you've been around locker rooms and clubhouses and organizations, and you've been here for a long time.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I just want to make sure
the gray hair is starting to pop a little bit.
It's okay, Dean Arena. You look better than me. But you are the prestigious, all-knowing voice when it comes to things.
Things.
I don't know what
things.
But you're at Nationals Park a lot, obviously. So you have a pretty good feel, of course, for this team. The Nationals have had a weird offseason. A lot of people thought they were going to spend a lot of money. They've got all these young guys. They supplemented with a lot of the Josh Bells and Paul DeJong types and Soroka. I think they're going to be better than the 71 wins they've had each of the last 2 years. How much better?
Let's go 7 or 8 wins better.
Okay. So you're kind of sort of in the same ballpark as me, like 78, 79 wins?
I think so. And I think what's going to be really interesting to see is, you know, the young guys, obviously, and James and Dylan, as they, you know, move their level up, they get to spend a whole season in the bigs. How do they play? You know, how do they look? How do they do things? And if come All-Star break, if come trade deadline, they're right there. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. Do they go out and get a little piece or two just to make things interesting? You know, or do they sit there and go, eh? You know,
you got to play good. You can't be like middling at 3 games under 500.
No, I understand that.
You know, in late July.
Correct. You know, and I think that's, you know, I thought the whole Kyle Finnegan thing was a really interesting situation and how it took so long to bring him back and then, you know, finally did. And he's an interesting piece, you know, that is obviously in that realm of, you know, he's on a 1-year deal. So, you know, depending on how they're doing.
Free agency didn't exactly go Kyle Finnegan's way.
It did not. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how the team does from that perspective. You have the young influence. You have the young blood. Let's see how they come in. They added, as you mentioned, a couple pieces, veteran style in there. Might increase the offense a little bit. Let's see how these guys do. And then, you know, they got the settlement with the Masson situation. Yeah. So how does that play out? How does that help or not things? You know, and so you play out this season, and then I think, as we kind of thought, this past off season, well, all right, maybe they go out and add a piece or two, a decent bat, maybe not a headline grabber, but, you know, a pretty good bat. Maybe go out and grab a number two starter or an older guy that can come in and sort of lead the crew.
You know what's interesting, though, and I'm jumping way ahead here, and who knows how he's going to look.
Talk radio.
But they could get the piece that they added around the deadline could be Josiah Gray.
Correct. No, 100%.
You know,
and that's what a lot of people don't think about, right? Is like sometimes you sit there and you look at a roster and the fans are like, geez, this is ridiculous. We didn't go out and get anybody. And you sit there and you're like, well, okay, but they're getting so-and-so back and such back and so-and-so's been on the DL for a month or two and they're getting him back. So in a sense, those are additions.
Right.
You know, so you're exactly right. And that is a big piece that if he comes back and can pitch well to the point that we think he can and have pretty good confidence that he can, what he brings. And, you know, and then I guess, again, not to get too far ahead, but okay, they play pretty well this year. Fast forward to next offseason. Now you're really sitting there going like, okay, you know, and there's also going to be questions around the labor situation and questions around the TV situation with the Nationals, you know? So now that they have the 1-year deal with Masson,
right?
What happens after that 1 year, you know? And I think that's going to be another thing where you can sit there and if the team, is still owned by the Lerners, you can sit there and go, how does all that play in? I know
you got some more time, right?
Sure.
All right, I want to finish up.
My time is yours.
I want to finish up on this because there are so many interesting entanglements, if you will. But I got to hit a quick update here and a break, and then we'll come back. The voice of the American University Eagles, boys and girls, Dan Lang. Also, Sirius XM NFL, not NFL radio, Sirius XM radio, let's just put it that way. And a longtime pal of mine is in studio with us as we remember the life and the legacy of John Feinstein and as well celebrate American University going to the NCAA tournament. And now a little Nats talk. And we'll go to the trending alert and then we'll come on back with another segment with the Dean Arini next, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we start with the terribly sad news that we told you about late in the 2 o'clock hour. At the age of 69, John Feinstein, long a Washington Post columnist and as well a multi-time best-selling author, has passed away at the age of 69, his brother informing the Washington Post of that particular unfortunate news. He was at his brother's house in the Northern Virginia area, just posted his last column earlier this morning on Tom Izzo in the Post. Of course, a longtime contributor to the Junkies and a friend of many, John Feinstein, passed away at the age of 69. Meanwhile, we were just talking about the Nationals. They're actually on a little road trip in spring training. Rare, but they are on the west coast of Florida, and they are getting drubbed by the Tampa Bay Rays 13-4 today. DJ Hers was not bad. 3 innings, just an earned run, 2 hits, but the bullpen, including Brad Lord, whew, 2/3 of an inning, 8 earned runs, and 7 hits allowed. Not very good. Caps back on the ice tonight in Los Angeles at the Crypto.com Arena. 10:30, the puck drop. Alex Ovechkin, of course, continuing the chase. And as well, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Matt Roy making their return to Los Angeles to take on their former team. You can hear it starting at 10:15 on the team on 106.7 The Fan and the Caps Radio Network plus Odyssey. And that's what's trending. Long final 18 minutes or so of the radio show, Graham. Here on a Thursday, we will have Dumb Dumb of the Day for you before we exit stage left. Somebody who's not a Dumb Dumb and never has been. Well,
I was going to say
maybe
that's,
once or twice.
That's pretty hot coming from you because you're like, all right, okay.
You idiot, is the voice of American University, the Eagles, going to the NCAA tournament, winning the Patriot League championship. He was on the call last night. Sir Dan Lang. You've eclipsed like Paul McCartney, right? You're like, yeah, you're royals. You have royalty status in like some corner of London or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Fish and chips.
A title.
Something
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Yes.
You're also, real quickly, a baseball reporter, analyst, what have you, Sirius XM. You've long worked for MLB Network Radio. By the way, we're going to have Jim Bowden on Monday at 3:15. He was just at Nats camp yesterday, mm-hmm. so we'll have that as part
He's
of
great,
their coverage.
He says it like it is.
Exactly. The starting center fielder, my God, Jacob Young on last Friday. I think this is just kind of finishing up where we were kind of heading before the break. You mentioned the Masson deal, the ownership. I think ultimately it's going to wind up with Ted. I don't think
probably.
I'm jumping out on it.
Yeah, I
don't know what exactly their Lerners are looking for.
Correct.
Now that the television thing is resolved, and apparently they're trying to get the naming rights and the jersey patch, and maybe once they have all of those deals done, maybe then they'll sell it because then presumably they'll get the price that they didn't get prior to all this maybe. With the pending litigation,
yeah.
right? Is that that's kind of the way I see it. But I also see it as we are not going to sell this team unless you pay us the price that we have evaluated as what we want. Not what the market says, not what people think, not what experts think, what we want.
Well, and maybe, and you know, I mean, I'm not internal enough to really understand all of that and know all the details, and you know, I don't have any inside knowledge of the Lerner family. But
neither do I.
You know,
but right, that's right, just right. But seemingly speaking, how they yes, operate.
Correct. Correct. This is my number. Meet it.
Yeah, yes. They do things that are, let's just say, unconventional.
But it's worked for him.
I mean, if you think about it, the mega deferred contract without interest was really a Lerner thing. I know the Mets and Bobby Minea and all and other teams had done some sort of, but that was deferral with interest, whatever. The mega deferrals, starting with Max and then leading into Strasburg, the first contract, and other contracts, was really a Lerner thing.
Yeah.
And they kind of redefined that or brought that in to back in or made it vogue, if you will, in Major League Baseball. And I think now that the Masson deal is totally resolved and there isn't like all this pending litigation, and especially
they
again
know what they're going to be getting from Masson,
knowing that a new owner would either have the rights to negotiate a new TV deal or that they will negotiate the deal and presumably it's a good deal, I think makes it easier to sell the team, which they
maybe. And you look at Ted, and right, I mean, he wants programming for Monumental,
which I think is where the games are going to wind up, whether he owns the team or not.
Doesn't.
But
correct.
I mean, for him, it probably would just make sense if they can meet somewhere in the middle and he can buy the team.
Or maybe it's one of those things where he buys it and the Lerners stay on as minority stakeholders.
Yeah, that's
possible. So it's not, you know, or over the course of time, you know, buying it over the course of five years, two years,
eight.
I mean, I'm just throwing numbers out there. But the thing that I think is something that it's gotten into the talk a little bit, but keep in mind, if you're somebody coming in looking to spend billions of dollars on an entity, well, the labor agreement is up December of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little time. But if you're going to come in and spend multiple billions of dollars on an entity and perhaps have a lockout shutdown and not know where the future goes, do the fans get teed off? Does it take a long time for the sport to get rolling again? If that happens, then, you know, where do you look? And those things are not easy to hash out. And you start to hear little things that pop out because everybody has their own agenda. And where things stand as far as the CBA goes, they're not easy to do. 400 pages is the last one that came out. That's something that's been negotiated since back in the late 60s with Marvin Miller. But, you know, it controls everything from per diems to how the clubhouses are run.
Right.
You know, everything. So the players, you know, whether or not there's a salary cap, all that stuff. So it's really going to be fascinating to see as that comes up, the economy changes. You know, attendance, the TV deal, not just locally, but the TV deal nationally with MLB, and how ESPN and MLB are saying, all right, Splitsky's on us. Where do they go from there? Do they get a bigger deal, smaller deal? Do they pull the NFL thing and put different games on?
Well, and again, it could be incorporated into like the local TV rights could be incorporated
100%.
Into a digital national television rights type deal.
Yep.
Maybe with all teams, maybe it doesn't look like all teams, maybe some teams, you know, maybe the smaller and mid-market teams or teams that operate like that, even though DC is not a small or medium market.
That's a whole other discussion, but yes.
I mean, here's what I hope. Whatever happens from here, I hope the Lerners are not serious about this when they say, hey, people are going to have to buy tickets in order for us to really invest in the team. You know what I'm saying?
People
because
did
they
buy tickets.
But they've said we need people, you know, Mark Lerner said, you know, basically, I think it was at the beginning of the offseason, hey, we really, in order to really spend, we need people to buy the tickets to invest in da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not the way it works. Like, when
correct.
You open up a restaurant, you don't say, hey, man, I need you to come to my new restaurant and sit on the floor and buy food so that we can
like
buy tables and chairs.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. No,
never mind ovens and staff. Like, you've got to invest. And, of course, they have. I don't want to suggest that they haven't invested in the team.
No, they have. They have.
But the question becomes is, how much of this, A, always is about making as many dollars as you can or not losing as many dollars
correct.
As you can? And how much of this is just simply, okay, yes, we all understand they shouldn't have to or they can't spend $200-plus million on payroll, but do they need to be as low as they are? Do they need to be as nickel and dime as they are?
Well, how about this caveat, and that is, you know, the Lerners are very big into commercial real estate. That's how they made their bundles of money, is in commercial real estate. Right now in this area, in the DMV, commercial real estate is it's cratering. You know, it's having a big problem.
Yeah.
Now, whether it comes back or not, you know, who knows? It's a timing thing. But, you know, you wonder, do they have the same capital that they had maybe 7 or 8 years ago? And maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Because of the... Of
oh,
the,
I'm
so
sure they
then,
don't.
So then,
yeah.
Right. So then on that perspective, they're sitting there, maybe they want to spend, but they're just sitting there going like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we kind of balance this? And we have this investment, but we got to, you know, we got to cater it. We got to, you know, be the guarantors of it and make sure that it, the beholders of it and get it to the next stop. We don't want to sell low, yada, yada, yada. So I just, it's going to be a really interesting thing to follow as we go back to how this season unfolds. We got into this talk because it was how the season unfolds and when and how they end up starting to spend money if they do.
And we both think 78-ish, 79-ish wins somewhere in that
range. I think
range.
And the fact that the salary, the last time I looked, the payroll is actually down this year from where it was last year. So if you look at that, I think it's going to be interesting to see maybe they have a little wiggle room for if somebody gets injured.
I think they ultimately net added a little bit more money. Okay. I have to double check
yeah,
that.
It's been frankly, it's been a little while since
because
I think
what I remember was they subtracted Corbin's contract, but then when they re-added Finnegan, like that was, you know, initially built into the expenditures, and now that it's been
right.
Don't want to talk into the weeds, you know, way too. But either way, last thing, and then we have to let you go. My guy Dan Lang,
Tears.
Voice of American University Eagles, SiriusXM, voice of Tennessee State football. I got it right.
Yes, there you go.
Yes,
it's only the 800th
Eddie George
time.
Has left, but you are still going to be behind the mic in Nashville, which I'm so jealous of. I'm still
the Music City's fantastic.
I'm still waiting for my invite to a Tennessee State football game. Is it coming this year?
Maybe
an all expenses paid trip.
See, now you're adding that caveat to it. I do not exactly have a NetJets account to where it's easy to get us from here down there.
Last thing,
Southwest is now charging for bags as well.
Did you hear the audio or hear the Seattle Mariners broadcaster Riz? What is his name?
Rick Riz,
who's like 76 years old, got clonked in the head with a foul ball the other day.
I did not
in spring training.
I've been honed in on the Eagles. Right, I have not.
You've got to listen to it.
Okay,
it's Grant and Danny played it yesterday. I hadn't heard about it, but they played it last night on my way home, and it's both sad, but it's also hilarious because he gets just apparently. I haven't seen video. He gets clunked. I mean. You know some of these press boxes, right? Camden Yards.
Right.
I mean,
you're right there. And you
like,
need to be paying
not
attention.
Not a lot of protection,
correct.
Right?
You better be paying
and
attention.
And it comes back fast, right?
Nats
he
Park,
gets apparently
story.
Clunked right in the head with a foul ball that's hit really hard. And he's down on the ground. And his partner is like, did you get hit? Did it hit you? No, dumbass. I'm down on the ground, collapsed, and writhing in pain after a ball came right at us for no reason. It didn't hit me.
It just scared me a little bit.
It just scared me. Ooh. After all the years of play-by-play, I'm down on the ground, writhing in pain for no reason. You've got to listen to the audio. It's
that's an interesting carrot you're dangling for. You're giving me a little homework, Slashy.
Yeah, it's not funny because nobody...
It's not.
You know, nobody would like, nobody would want that to happen to anybody, but what the funny part was the partner.
Like,
did it
hit
you? Did you get hit? Did it get you? And he asked like 3 or 4 times during the audio cut. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Was he going on with? Here's the 1-1. It's high for a ball. 2 balls, 1 strike. Are you okay down there?
And then not the best part, but then they go to a break. He's like, we'll be back. We got to take a break. And Grant, and I'm sure he was just poking the bear a little bit. Was like, should have continued the broadcast. So real quickly, what would you do if your partner got hit in the head with a baseball on a foul back and was down on the ground? Would you continue the broadcast or would you go to a break?
I would on the air say it looks like Slashy was just Slashy, by the way, it's Chris Russell Russo. Say, you know, are you okay? Were you hit? And if I'm not getting anything from you, whatever, I'm like, I would say the ball came into the booth. I'm not getting anything from Russell. I've got to take the headsets off and go see what's going on. You know, we'll be right back. Something to that.
Okay,
effect.
So you would go to a break.
Yeah, because I mean,
the guy. No, he was talking. Riz was Riz, right? Riz was talking.
Coherently,
fairly. He was like,
I would sit there.
But he's 77 years old.
Rooster,
or whatever.
That's what I'm saying, Rooster. Like, yeah. you gotta look out for your partner, and you gotta say, you know, at some point, like, and you know, spring training game as well. You know, it's not game 7 of the World Series,
right?
And you say, hey, partner was just hit with a baseball. We're gonna take a quick break, make sure everything's cool. Be right back with you. Okay. And then when you come back, you say, hey. You know, this is what happened. He's fine, and now he's sitting back up and talking. Or, you know what, the EMTs came up, they rushed him out. Looks like everything is okay, but he's going to run to the hospital, make sure everything's cool. Mm-hmm. So I have not seen that. I have not heard that.
He came
that
back
clip.
To the booth later on, okay. And so said, you know, he definitely was feeling it, but right. It was okay.
Right.
It was okay. All right. The voice, the prestigious voice, the patriarch of the Patriot League. Mr. Dan Lang, the voice of American University and the Eagles on their way to the NCAA tournament. Great to have you for a first time. Let's not make it a first time.
Well, it's up to you.
A long time before the second time.
Well, you're the one that has the invites. You could either extend them or not. I've never turned you down.
Let's take a time out.
Thanks for having me.
All right, AMAC, it's time to wrap up the show. Again, my thanks to the voice of the American University Eagles, Mr. Dan Lang. You know how we wrap things up, don't you? Yes. A Brazilian model is shocked by an angry note that she found from her taxi driver's wife over her outfit that she wore in the man's taxi. Yes, she wore a very, very skimpy outfit, got a 1-star rating, and worse, got a message from the taxi driver's wife. She's known for her curves. She's known for her sleek outfits. She was not happy when the wife, after getting the 1-star review to the OnlyFans creator of content, she's 23 years old, his wife sent her a message through the app saying she regularly monitors her husband's rides and ratings and did not approve of the way she was dressed. The woman explained, said the Brazilian model, that she didn't like my outfit, and this was the reason for the negative rating. She said that she didn't consider my clothing appropriate for a taxi ride. Well, I could just say this. I've seen pictures. Honey, I wouldn't consider your outfits appropriate for a taxi ride either. What the hell do you expect? I mean, you got to see the pictures of this woman. Again, she's an OnlyFans model. That should tell you everything you need to know. But she's busting loose. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Thanks to Dan Lang for hanging out with us much of this final hour. And again, rest in peace to the great John Feinstein. Thank you for being with us, calling, listening. Back tomorrow at 1. Craig Hoffman up next. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.